Hi, welcome to another episode of Pault on Power, Power System Design's podcast on the latest in power and power design. I'm your host, Alex Pault, and today we've got Brian Schaefer. He's the application manager of the Linear Technologies Boston Design Center, and we're going to talk about low-energy applications like cloud sensors or remote devices or extremely long-operating portable devices and the issues involved behind all of that. Isn't that right, Brian? Hi, welcome to the show.
Hi. Hi, Alex. Thanks for having me.
Oh, the pleasure is ours. So like I said, what do you think about that? Where is Linear's view on that whole issue of tiny devices, what they're calling nanopower needs, energy harvesting, all of this thing?
Well, I mean, Linear is definitely focused on this market space. We've got a lot of parts that have been, dedicated to extremely low power for, say, wireless sensor networks, and we think it's a growing market.
Well, this is also very true because the more we go into a cloud-based system, as it were, even the complete infrastructure is going to rely more and more on long-term sensors in interesting places, very low-power information kiosks possibly running off of a touchscreen and ink or cholesteric LCD or some other low-power technology, but it all has to be knit together with power. I mean, you can say it's low-power all day, but eventually the battery runs out, the well runs dry, or does it?
Well, I mean, what we've tried to do with some of our next-generation parts is to, give customers the opportunity to add some other auxiliary power source to their battery supply so they can extend the battery life.
Mm-hmm. So basically, under ideal circumstances, the device could run without a battery?
Yes, it could.
Ah, okay. So it's truly doing energy harvesting from whatever external device you put on it. Is there a choice of devices, or do you have to put specifically a piezo device or a solar device, or is it any type of low power input?
No, many of the new parts that we have can handle multiple types of input sources, either piezo, electromagnetic transducers, solar panels,
mm-hmm.
or even thermoelectric generators.
This is also true. I'm seeing thermoelectric gain a lot in popularity as the core technology starts to mature a little bit more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. That's one of those technologies that's pretty easy to understand. When you have a temperature differential, you can feel it.
Mm-hmm.
So I think, and it's in a lot of places.
Right. Well, not only that, the human body gives, I don't think we're going to get to the matrix level, but the human body can be a power source for thermally driven devices.
Yep. Yeah, we're starting to see, people do that. They're starting to have some really interesting products. I mean, I came across someone trying to do a shirt that lit up the other day. And
So let's look at it from the designer's point of view. What are the challenges? I'm trying to build a device. Let's say I'm making an environmental sensor. I'm a farm, and I want to sprinkle these things out in the field, maybe even tack them into the ground so that way my harvester can pass over them. They're really small. I want them to pull extremely low levels of power. What are my options? What are my challenges? What am I looking at?
Yeah, I mean, the biggest problem that you're going to have is finding, power managers that can actually, harvest such small amounts of power. I mean, up till now, microamps have kind of been things that people have kind of discarded.
Mm-hmm.
At this point, now we're trying to store microamps. And so, looking around and looking at discrete solutions is pretty challenging. And, I think now that we've got some pretty new next generation parts coming out, that these markets can start to flourish.
Right. Well, you just recently released a device that's specifically targeting this marketplace. Can you talk a little bit about the devices you currently have that are currently available to address this?
Yeah, we had one part a while ago that was, say, an LTC 3588, which was targeted at piezoelectric energy harvester or any type of AC, high impedance AC source.
Mm-hmm.
And that one had an input voltage, startup voltage of about 5 volts or 4 volts.
Mm-hmm.
And that did not have a battery input. And one of the things we found was that, customers would have preferred to have the ability to stay with the battery that they were comfortable with and then add the energy harvesting feature to it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So the new part that we just came out with, which is this LTC 3330, is a it's a low power buck boost DC to DC with energy harvesting battery life extender.
Gotcha.
And that one now has another input, which is the battery input, which can go from 1.8 to 5.5 volts, and it's a buck boost. So you can regulate an output voltage with the battery, or you can regulate the output voltage from the energy harvesting source. But from the energy harvesting source to the output, it's a buck.
Got you.
And that allows customers to really generate a system that, hopefully, in the end, if your energy harvesting source is capable enough, then the battery can be just another component in the system, and it will last the life of the product.
There you go. Well, then that also brings into mind the core battery technologies. Obviously, yours is technology agnostic, but are there any battery technologies that you're leaning towards or that you favor?
Lithium thiol chloride, these long life batteries, those are ones that we would probably expect to be used with this part. It can also be used with any primary cell, non-rechargeable battery, anywhere between 1.8 and 5.5 volts, though.
Mm-hmm. What about like some of these chip-scale batteries that are coming out that are, well, I guess they're also low-power devices designed for that same type of an application. I guess it depends on how much energy you want to store.
Sure. There are some batteries, some companies like IPS and Simbit, who make these very small batteries, and those could be used, but those are rechargeable, so you'd have to have some type of charging method to put them into the system.
Got you. Okay, so this device can manage the input from multiple sources, but you'd need a separate device for the charging mechanism.
That's right. In the near future, we're going to have a part that will be able to do that as well, probably in another quarter or so.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So that would then be able to charge batteries as well.
Mm-hmm. So what are some of the other advantages of the device? And you can tell me a little bit some of the support you're giving. Are there any reference designs for it already or development kits for it yet?
Sure. I mean, one of the key features of this part is that we've given the customer the ability to adjust the input voltage and under voltage lockout, rising and falling thresholds,
mm-hmm.
and that's pretty much in 1 volt increments, all the way up from from 3 volts up to 19 volts. And what that does is it allows the customer to set the under voltage set point such that you can get optimal power from the source. So, as an example, if you have a piezo energy harvester that is vibrating with a particular amount of acceleration and it generates a particular open circuit voltage, ideally what you'd like to do is have that have your power management circuit not extract power from that source unless the input voltage is at half the open circuit voltage.
Mm-hmm.
That would be your peak power point. So by having these set all these different settings, you can pretty much set it up for a particular application and then know that you're going to be at peak power.
Got you.
For that source.
Understood.
That's one of the big deals. The other thing we've done is we've put this supercapacitor balancer on the output. And, one of the problems with supercapacitors is the early diffusion currents. And
mm-hmm.
that's just a function of the carbon structure inside of the supercapacitors.
Right.
And, it's difficult for these low-power energy harvesting sources to get through that time. And then that current can be 100 times greater than its typical leakage current. So by having the battery on the input and being able to supply the output during that diffusion time, you're now able to really have the supercapacitor be an effective energy storage device for these energy harvesting applications.
Got it. Well, and it's all about highest levels of efficiency, easiest management. I mean, any bottlenecks in the system, I mean, to beat up an analogy, you're pushing the electrons through tinier holes,
That's absolutely, yeah. That's kind of what happens with those diffusion currents, is it just takes time for the electrons to diffuse into the carbon structure. And that just takes time.
Exactly. So, Brian, are there any other final thoughts you want to leave us with? Make sure one of them is, of course, your URL for the product. But anything you want to leave the audience with before we close out the episode?
Just that I think that we're really excited about these new family of parts. I mean, this is one of a couple parts that are going to be coming out that have this battery life extender, function in it. And I think it's going to really enable the market to get to a comfort level that they can then, you know, expand the use of these wireless sensor nodes and really, I think, hopefully help develop the market.
Mm-hmm. And obviously, it could go beyond wireless sensor nodes. There, once you start talking about, for example, low-power cameras or anything else for security purposes, very, very low-power biometric lock systems or something along those lines, I mean, once you're into the system and can really start using this low-level energy, you can actually start creating devices that can take advantage of it.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Yeah, we also have a demo board available if anyone wants to order it. It should be available very shortly, and that's the DC2048A, and that's going to be available from our website.
Excellent, excellent.
Yep. And that will actually mate with one of our DUS networks, one of those evaluation kits for the DUS networks.
Right. Now, so is there a specific product page, or is everything visible from the home page?
You can go to www.linear.com/energy-harvesting for just kind of a general listing of the products.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can go to www.linear.com/product/LTC3330 for detailed information about this particular product.
Excellent. Well, hey, Brian, thank you very much for taking the time to be with us. As these applications expand into places and need to be powered, it's good to know that there are newer devices to get it done.
Yeah. Alex, thanks for having me, and I appreciate it.
Oh, the pleasure is ours. And I'd like to thank everybody out there in the audience for taking the time to be with us. We wouldn't be here without you. Tell your friends. This is Alex Pault for Pault on Power. Have a great day.